Well, hello again. Welcome to TV Tuesday. This is TV Tuesday, where we present an episode of the Jack Benny Show that was presented on television. And you get a chance to hear it here, or you can watch it over on YouTube, and we'll have a link in the show notes that will take you to the YouTube channel where you can watch it and see us chat about it and see the actual episode. Or you can listen to it if you're in your car or whatever, and go ahead and listen. So anyway, without further ado, here is an episode of TV Tuesday.
Hit it, Phil. Canopy, the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume. Oh, no, it isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time.
Well, Joel, again, this is Buck Benny speaking. We're going to spend some time with Jack Benny and Charlie's aunt, and we'll talk with John Henderson, my friend from the This Day in Jack Benny podcast.
Hello.
Hello, John. We'll be talking to Kathy Fuller Seeley, who has multiple books out on Jack Benny. And any new information about like when the release date of the next book's going to be or anything yet?
Oh, no, we're busy in production. So I'm hoping before September. Here's hoping.
Okay. Okay. Oh, and just for you, Kathy, since we're talking, I contacted the writer of the script that I was going to send you, which is Jack Benny meets yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and it's about 180 pages. It's really quite good, and so I'll send that off to you, and then you can look it over, and if you think it's something that Ben would be interested in, you can send it on to him, and she's fine with that. So
we need a Jack Benny meets Scooby-Doo.
Yes, we do.
Bro.
They missed out on that. They could have done that in the 70s, and I think that was done. That show was done before he passed away, but they never did it. So anyway, our friend Terry Phillips, and Terry's from Imaginaire Theater. They have a new production coming up here in August-ish, he's looking at maybe, it looks like you were saying it might be a two-parter.
It's starting to look that way. The script keeps getting longer and longer, and there's no end in sight yet. But probably a two-parter.
Can you give us a little preview as far as the genre? You've done science fiction. You've done westerns.
This is another fantasy. But grounded in reality and hopefully having some relevance to the world today. And it looks like this is going to be our first production with children, not only kids, but there'll be some children in it as it's currently evolving. And there will also be at least one, possibly two non-human characters in this one.
Oh, okay. And just so you know, if you can't find children that are acceptable and doing their lines and things, I'm happy to do children. okay. And John can easily do non-human. He does that most of the time in the podcast, so that's just fine.
I'll have my casting director get in touch with your agents.
All right. Thank you so much. Anyway, on to this strange, unique piece. This is a preview of Charlie's Aunt, or a trailer for Charlie's Aunt, I guess you would say. I mean, whatever you want to call it. And I just thought that I would say that I loved it. I think this is a wonderful little piece. And I had it sitting there for a long time and didn't really look at it, just assuming it was just a little preview thing. But then I looked at the length and I was like, that's got to be more than a preview. What is that? And so I watched it. And when I watched it, I loved it. And I just thought they really captured a lot of what Jack Benny was, and the fact that Mary's in it, at least vocally, as he calls her on the phone. I don't know. What did you guys think? Let's go with Kathy first. Kathy, what did you think about
it? Well, any chance to see my first heartthrob, Ty Power, on the screen is at his most handsome. So of course it's selling the Fox brand, and this was the first Jack Benny Fox movie. So they wanted to put out a little extra promo for it. he wouldn't stay with Fox very long. But I thought an adorable thing, sort of playing with masculinity and stardom. And I love, as we'll talk about when we talk about the movie, the fact that here in 1941, there is so much cultural concern about men wearing dresses and appropriate gender behavior. But I love the fact that they go with the trope of Jack being concerned and it won't be good and how terrible to appear in a skirt. And then to have these two supposedly, ultimate handsome masculine actors praising the history of the play and all that. It was a delightful find, and I thank you so much. I'd never seen it before. Thank you for sharing it with us.
You're so welcome. John, what did you think about it?
It was interesting because I've never seen a preview like that where it's like a one reeler promotional film, I guess. And I thought it was the greatest. I thought it was better than the movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was so fun. And like Kathy said, the way that it all works itself out, I thought it was great. And the guest stars was great. And actually, I loved the part where the Tyrone Power and who's the other guy? Randy somebody?
Randolph Scott.
Okay. Well, anyway, I loved how they talked about their own pictures and described it and were excited about it. And it didn't give like the same kind of spoilers away that you get these days where you see like half the movie in the trailer. I would love it if for all trailers, it was just the star or the director saying like, and then this happens and I'm not gonna tell you the ending, but it was great. It sort of reminds me of the Alfred Hitchcock previews where Alfred Hitchcock will come and talk about his movie and do like a thing that sort of sets the tone and maybe it's a bit comedic, but it's not giving the movie away. I thought it was great.
Right. Well, and they do that a little bit. You get, because a lot of movies have a standard trailer, but then they also have, what's the first one called? Where it gives just I'm sure Terry knows the name for this, where it gives just a little taste or a little, it's like Alien was the first one that I can remember doing it. Alien showed like, its first trailer, whatever it was just the egg of the thing sort of cracking and light coming through and things like, and then just said Alien 1979 or whatever. And that was it. And so it would just give this little tease and it wouldn't give anything away, of course, in the movie whatsoever. And some movies still do that. And that's what this felt like, but it felt like an extended one because it didn't give anything away. It was just sort of highlighting that movie was going to be coming. As you were saying, when Randolph Scott shows up, I love it because he pulls out of his boots these knives that are in his boots and lays them down and then takes off his gun belt and the whole thing. I just thought it was great. He'd disarm himself to sit down there with them and chat. Terry, what did you think about it?
Well, the thing I want to draw attention to is the setting for this for this short film. Once upon a time, kids, if you're watching this in the 22nd century, once upon a time, before the pandemic of 2019, people used to eat together indoors. And in movie studios, they had this place called the commissary. It was like a cafeteria, and there were tables, and the actors primarily, but some of the crew and directors, writers, would all get together and eat and just talk about life and maybe the project they were working on. And that's what happens in this trailer. It's almost a genre. Once upon a time, a lot of stuff took place in the commissary on the screen. But even off screen, it was a place where people really did, in the movie business, really did get together and talk. So I think it was a perfect setting for this otherwise revealing short story. Yeah. And I believed it instantly. I didn't wonder, is this scripted or, it is so believable. And I think, there's this old Latin saying, in vino veritas, truth in wine. I think it's true of eating in general, that when people get together and have food, the guard comes down and they start telling how they really feel. And that's how this struck me as being, even though it's obviously meant to promote their films and to be entertaining, it was also very believable, very, very credible.
Yes. And it told a nice little story, a little contained story about Jack wondering whether he should do this movie and thinking maybe he shouldn't do the movie, and his discussion with Mary, and then followed by the what happens with the two other actors showing up. And I don't know if it was truly a concern on Jack's part or anything, but this does give him some cover as far as they have some manly men, as Kathy says, come out and say, oh, I would do that in a heartbeat. Boy, I wish they gave me that chance, and what an opportunity for you, Jack, and so forth. And so it gives him a lot of cover and things. So you certainly might be concerned that, well, what if all of a sudden everybody thinks I'm too effeminate and then doesn't want to listen to my radio show anymore, and everything, my whole career goes in the tank because I'm taking this chance. So,
Daryl, I have a question for you, or maybe John or Kathy, was this movie made at the time when Mary was already having some stage fright issues, or was this before that?
I don't think so.
Well, in Buck Benny Rides Again, the previous April, she only, her voice appeared on the radio. After she made this movie, This Way Please, she refused to appear, even though she had a contract with Paramount, she refused to appear in the movies anymore after that. So
maybe that's why they used the telephone device, because she didn't want to be on the screen.
It's what they did in Buck Benny Rides Again. You only hear her on the radio. So.
Yeah, I think she was, to answer your question. I mean, I think she was having Mike Fried at this time. I don't know. It would be really interesting. It's too bad we can't interview her, talk to her about it more and things, because like Kathy says, she did her own movie, This Way Please, and she appeared in that movie. And right after that, because that's, what is that, 19?
Never again. 37?
Okay. So after that, it just seems like her Mike Fright really took a whole nother level.
Right. And she just decided. But what performer walks away from a career? You know what I mean? Right. Paramount was willing to throw money at her. And I think it's just, you know, it's one thing to Mary's credit if she said, I don't want to do movies. And so she put her foot down and never did movies again. So.
It just always surprised me that she did television, because it's like, what's the difference between movies and television?
Only when there was no live audience.
Right.
So,
I definitely think that she had some insecurities. And I think the whole time she was never like, I'm going to be a star, right? Like, I think even from the earliest days, she did it and she enjoyed maybe being on the radio a little bit, but she never, I don't feel like show business was her thing that she loved.
I totally agree with you, John. When you see the, even the radio version of that celebration of Jack Benny in 1941, that General Foods threw when they got him to re-sign the contract, she would not speak extemporaneously. And then she didn't tour after about 36 or 37. She didn't do the summer tours with Jack where he appeared. I guess the most she would do were those camp shows. Those are the, you know, I mean, because she'd have the script in front of her. But
you got a guaranteed positive response.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's great. Well, and it makes some sense, because it's not like she came about, she was an actress and Jack met her and they fell in love. Right. She was working at the May Company, as he always says, and they fell in love. And then as part of that, he asked her to perform with him at some point. There's lots of stories about how that happened, but then she does. And I could see, you know, every once in a while I get my wife to do something with me, and she's played Mary a few times and so forth, and she's very much Mary, and that I don't think she would be comfortable doing that in a long-term thing, but she's willing to do it on these little bursts because it's not her drive. And that's Jack's drive, was to be Jack and to do these amazing things that he did, but doesn't mean that was Mary's drive. And I think Mary, her whole time, was sort of trying to find an exit strategy. It's like, how do I get out of this thing? And finally, in 1960, she's like, I'm done. And she was. But then it's lovely because she does come back a little bit in his specials and things. We get to see her at least once and so forth, which is nice. But interesting thing with Mary as a sub.
Yeah, super. Are we going to continue this conversation about the movie in this, or are we going to do a separate one?
But anything else anyone wants to say about this trailer, short film, whatever you want to call it, we can do, and then we'll stop, and then we'll go to the other film. Yeah.
Okay.
The only other thing we didn't talk about in this short was when the bellboy or whoever comes out. And Jack explains it away, but then he keeps coming.
I love that. it was a well-written little piece here. I mean, you really got Jack Benny's character that he likes to portray. It made sense in everything, like I say, it also gave him cover. So it did a whole bunch of things in this one.
We'll continue that. As you say, gave him cover, but this is the movie, other than the horn blows at midnight, he uses that character of Charlie's aunt, the radio image, I mean, of him wearing the dress for so many years after this film came out on the radio show, like 10 years later. And that just fascinates me that, again, it becomes his cover in a different way when he wants to continue to make fun of his sort of womanly ways. Right. It's not like he dresses up in Mary's outfits. He's wearing he's going to go dance with sailors during World War II at the Palladium in his Charlie's Aunt costume. So. Yeah. I do like the fact that this marvelous little trailer talks about the storied history of the play. Mm-hmm. The fact, that this is sort of the only one of Jack's movies where it's very sort of obvious, that he's performing a theatrical piece.
Yes.
Every other one, he's playing a character much like himself set in contemporary days.
Right.
But the really interesting thing about Fox getting Jack Benny to play this part was it had just been the previous year a huge hit as a revival on Broadway. It was young Jose Ferrer, who we know as Cyrano de Bergerac and other theatrical movie roles. He had just played it in college, I think at Princeton. And it had been such a big hit on campus, they literally brought it to Broadway. And it started his career as a young actor. The fact that Fox and Warner Brothers then said the strategy of we'll star Jack Benny in famous Broadway hits. This is where it began. And so, as I said, it's an interesting, different film for Jack. And I like the strategy in this little trailer that Tyrone Power and Randolph Scott are mentioning its long history and its popularity.
So. Right. And I was amazed at how many times it had been done as a film. It's quite a few times, whether it's silent films.
And then it was adapted into a musical. Yeah. Travels with whatever.
Where's
who's
Charlie?
The guy who was
Ray Bolger. Yes,
where's Charlie? With thank you, Ray. So
that's great.
So an endlessly popular production. So.
Right, and then the whole genre of men dressing up as women throughout other films and things, as far as I can tell, almost all of them took place after this. Because now you look at it and you say it's kind of a trope or something. It makes the film, when you watch the film, seem a little more dated because you've seen it so many times. I mean, they Tom Hanks did his weekly series with Bosom Buddies, and that became his breakout role that got him into movies and the whole thing. So anyway, but we'll cover that when we talk about Charlie's Aunt, the actual movie anyway. So anyway, folks, I hope you really enjoy this trailer. It's delightful. It's far more than any trailer you'd ever want to see. It's one of Jack's finer little performances that he's done for film that I've seen. And like John said, I'd probably like it better than the movie. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you folks next time. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, Nick. Nick.
Yes, Mr. Bernie.
This take is tough.
Tough? Maybe your knife is not sharp enough. Try this one.
I don't want that. I want another steak.
You're in a bad mood today, Mr. Bernie.
Miss Livingston's on the phone, Mr. Bernie.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Did you sign your contract?
Yes, I signed my contract.
What are you mad about? They dropped your option already?
Don't be funny. You know what my first picture is? Charlie's Aunt. And I'm Charlie's Aunt. Imagine me playing a woman. That's right, laugh. I never would have signed up here if I'd known they were going to treat me like this. Why couldn't they give me a picture like Western Union or Jesse James? Something where I can be a virile outdoor he-man. You know, something where I could just be myself. All my life, I wanted to be in a picture where I end up getting the leading lady. And what happens? I end up being the leading lady.
I could just see you and Don Amici on your honeymoon.
A lot of sympathy I can get out of you.
Oh, Auntie, I saw a dress this morning that would look simply lovely.
Charlie's Aunt. It's all Fred Allen has to hear.
Hello, Jack.
Oh, hello, Ty. What are you doing, taking flying lessons?
No, this is my uniform for my new picture, Yank in the RAF.
Oh, you got a good part, eh?
Jack, it's great. The best part I ever had in my life. You know, this morning we did a scene that was tremendous. I'm flying a Spitfire, see, at 10,000 feet. And down below me, the British are evacuating Dunkirk. Well, all of a sudden, right in front of me, I see three Messerschmitts. So I open up the guns. Brrr, and down goes the first one. Then I open them up again. Brrr, and down goes the second. And then, brrr, down goes the third. No, he does a loop and he gets on my tail.
Oh,
hot lead tears through my shoulder. The plane starts careening wildly, and it starts falling.
And then what happens?
Well, I don't know. We do the rest after lunch.
Oh. Gee, that's the kind of a part I ought to play. Is there a love story to it?
Oh, sure. And I get the girl, and what a girl. Betty Grable.
Gee, Betty Grable. I'll probably end up with Nat Pendleton.
What'd you say?
Oh, nothing.
Hello, fellas.
Hello, Randy.
Hiya, Jack.
Hello, Randy.
You're looking at the luckiest guy in the whole picture industry. In Bellstore, I do the greatest character you ever saw. It's terrific.
Yeah?
Why, this morning we did the scene that was just jammed with excitement and thrills. It starts off with Gene Turney in front of a firing squad. They're all set to pull their triggers. Just then, I gallop through on my horse and pick her right off the ground. The men start firing, I wheel around, let go with both guns. Bang, 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 bang. Just then, hot lead tears through my shoulder. But I hang on and we manage to gallop away.
Oh, boy. I suppose you end up with Gene Turney.
Why, sure, we get married.
Well, tell me, Randy, do you kiss her?
Do I kiss her? Wow. Yes, sir. Just the kind of part I like.
Yeah, me too. Action, suspense, thrills, and romance.
How about you, Jack?
Yeah, that's the kind of a part I like, too.
And by the way, Jack, what is your next picture going to be?
Well, to tell you the truth, fellas, they're writing it for me now. And it's the greatest part you've ever seen. I mean, it's got a lot of riding and fighting and gunplay.
Are these all right, Mr. Benny?
Now, the story takes place in Texas in 1860.
Pardon me, Mr. Benny. Are these okay?
Look, I'm an actor, not a costume designer. Now, as I was saying, fellas, the picture opens with me fighting a gun battle with a bunch of cattle rustlers.
Well, Mr. Benny, here's your wig.
I ordered a steak. Now, please don't bother me. No, that was probably meant for Joan Bennett. Now, sometimes they give her name the French pronunciation, Benet. And Benet and Benny sound very much alike.
Have a cigarette, Jack.
Thank you.
Pardon my fingers. Randy, go on with the story. It sounds very interesting.
Well, after I wipe out these cattle rustlers, they elect me sheriff and I clean out the town.
In that dress?
All right, fellas, you got me. Take it away.
Okay, Mr. Benny.
All right, so I'm playing Charlie's aunt.
Charlie's aunt?
Yes, and no hot lead tears through my shoulders.
Charlie's aunt, you lucky stiff.
But Zanuck said he was going to save that for me.
What?
Well, you don't realize what a break you've got. Can you imagine playing something that's been such an outstanding hit for 50 years?
What, do you know that Charlie's Aunt was so popular it was translated and played in 88 languages?
Well, yes. Yes, of course.
Well, it's the funniest comedy in the history of the theater.
Well, naturally, that's why I picked it.
And do you know that after 50 years it was revived last winter in New York and ran for 6 months?
I saw it, and I never laughed so hard in my life.
Well, it's one of the best parts ever written. How did you ever get such a plum?
Well, I just told Zanuck that I wouldn't sign up unless he let me play it. That's all.
Is this corset all right, Mr. Benny?
A little more lace around the bottom.
Yes, sir.
Boy, someday I hope I get a break like that.
Me too.
Well, don't worry, fellas. Just let that hot lead keep tearing through your shoulders, and maybe someday you'll be in a position to demand great parts, too. Well, I've got to run over to the makeup department and try on my false eyelashes. See you later, fellas.
Come on, Jack.
Goodbye, Jack.
It's Miss Livingston again, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Oh, say, Jack, I've been thinking. You're right about Charlie's aunt. If I were you, I'd refuse to do it. Doesn't sound so good to me.
Well, that just goes to show what you know about the theater, Mary. Charlie's Aunt is only the greatest play that was ever written. Why, do you know they revived it last winter in New York and it ran for 50 years? And they had to play it in 88 languages? Who cares about getting the leading lady? After all, the play's the thing.
Oh, brother.
What?